The Happy Prince.
1.
High above the city, on a tall column, stood the statue of the Happy Prince. He was gilded all over with thin leaves of fine gold. For eyes he had two bright sapphires, and a large red ruby glowed on his sword hilt. He was very much admired indeed.
"He is as beautiful as a weathercock," remarked one of the town councillors, who wished to gain a reputation for having artistic tastes. "Only not quite so useful," he added, fearing lest people should think him unpractical, which he really was not. "Why can't you be like the Happy Prince?" asked a sensible mother of her little boy, who was crying for the moon. "The Happy Prince never dreams of crying for anything."
"I'm glad there is someone in the world who is quite happy," muttered a disappointed man as he gazed at the wonderful statue.
"He looks just like an angel," said the charity children,
as they came out of the cathedral in their bright scarlet cloaks and their clean white pinafores.
"How do you know?" said the mathematical master. "You have never seen one."
"Ah, but we have in our dreams," answered the children,
and the mathematical master frowned and looked very severe, for he did not approve of children dreaming. One night there flew over the city a little swallow. His friends had gone away to Egypt 6 weeks before, but he had stayed behind, for he was in love with the most beautiful reed. He had met her early in the spring, as he was flying down the river after a big yellow moth, and had been so attracted by her slender waist that he had stopped to talk to her. "Shall I love you?" said the swallow, who liked to come to the point at once, and the reed made him a low bow. So he flew round and round her, touching the water with his wings and making silver ripples. This was his courtship, and it lasted all through the summer.
"It is a ridiculous attachment," twittered the other swallows. "She has no money, and far too many relations."
And indeed the river was quite full of reeds. Then, when the autumn came, they all flew away. After they had gone, he felt lonely, and began to tire of his lady love.
"She has no conversation," he said, "and I'm afraid that she is a coquette, for she is always flirting with the wind."
And certainly, whenever the wind blew, the reed made the most graceful curtsies.
"I admit that she is domestic," he continued, "but I love travelling, and my wife, consequently, should love travelling also."